Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Father, we ask in the name of our Son that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly. Father, that you continue to perfect your saints, showing us what is right, what is good, and what is pleasing to you, Father. When we go to the left or to the right, we ask, Father, that you chastise us in your loving kindness. Father, we ask that you strengthen us by your Spirit to overcome all the obstacles that the adversary puts within our way, to overcome ourselves when we become our own worst enemies, to overcome this world, Father. Father, we ask that you hedge us up, protect us, never leave us nor forsake us, Father. Continue to show us your way, your truth. I ask, Father, that you uplift our hearts and our minds, that we may see the truth of your word, Father, that we may know and understand, Father. We ask, Father, all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother Dayuel. Welcome to Bible 101. And today, we will be discussing the oneness of the Most High. And this is part one of the oneness of the Most High. Had a story to share. I'm at work, and our brother Ariel used to go to school with a lady that I worked with back when they were younger. So they were together, and I said, I told her that's my brother. Well, a couple weeks passed by, and she was looking at me strange. Just staring at me. She said, you know what? At first I didn't see it, but now I can. I see your brother in you. And I said, wow, you do? You know, and must have been looking real good that day, real pretty that day. You know, but I told my brother, and he said the same thing that I was thinking. You know, we laughed about it, and said the same thing I was thinking. Yeah, she just sees him aside. That's it. And that's something that we all should be seeing within one another when you're talking about the oneness of the Most High. Who is it that we're showing to this world? What is it that we're showing to this world? You know, one of the things that the Most High put on my mind the last time I was teaching last week for Blog Talk was his word and how it's supposed to unite us. And when I say us, I mean Israel. But it's the one thing divides us most. You know, this is the one thing that people argue about the most. And it's not supposed to be a point of contention. This is supposed to be the thing that brings us together as a unit. You know, Yahushua is not going back and forth with our Heavenly Father, Yah, about Torah, so to speak, about the words that he was commissioned to speak by the Father. You know, he said himself, you know, I say what my Father tells me to say. I do what my Father tells me to do. So they're in agreement. But this thing that we have, laws, statutes, judgments, is causing more division within Israel than it is agreement. So we're going to look at something. The number one thing that we're supposed to do, the number one thing that's supposed to unite us. We're going to start in the book of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to read from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. And it reads, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning and perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Yahushua answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our mighty one, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So number one, the first thing that is supposed to be uniting us as a nation is love for the Most High. That's the first thing that's supposed to be uniting us as a nation. Unfortunately, there is not uniting within this nation. So are we failing at this commandment? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Why is Israel not united? One, there is a severe lack of love for the Most High. But let's keep on reading. "So with all thy strength, this is the first commandment." Verse 31.
And the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
So the second being like unto the first one, show love to the Most High. Second, love your neighbor like you love yourself. The same way that you treat yourself good and do not lack for yourself, you don't diminish from yourself. Treat your neighbor the same way. You know, brotherly love is number two on the list. Well, we say two, that second position. Love for the Most High. Love for your brother. Are we failing at this commandment? He said, because these two are the two greatest. In another spot, it says, on these two commandments, the whole law hangs. So if we can fulfill these two commandments, we can fulfill the whole law. If we can do these two things. But because we are not doing these two things, there's no unity within Israel. Because men don't have a love for the Most High, because men don't have love for each other. And when I say men, I'm just focusing on Israel, on those who call themselves Israelites. Beefing about everything to the point where all this, they're beefing about if the world is round or flat now. Everything is an argument. Nobody can agree on anything. You know? But let's keep reading. He says, verse 31 again, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one mighty one, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all your heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So he understands that following these commands, loving Yah the Father, loving Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer, soon coming King, his son. Loving those two and showing love to man is more important than all the burnt offerings, and they were burning offerings at that time. That's how you get right with the Father. By showing him that you love him and showing him that you love his creation, your brother. You know, it's a passage within the word that says, how can you say that you love a God that you can't see, but you hate your brother in front of you? You're a liar if you say these things. So by the same token, how can you be unified with a God that you can't see, a God that you can't touch, a God that's invisible to you, when your brother is manifested right in front of you and you can't unify with him? You're beefing with him constantly. Everything is an argument with him. But you and God is on one accord? You need to check yourself. You know, because according to the word, you're in error.
if you believe that. You know? Now, I'm not saying that we're going to agree on everything. Because sometimes we agree, like the scribe said, love the mighty one with all your understanding. You know, whatever you understand about Yahweh at the time, love him to the fullest with all that understanding. Because you might not have an understanding about certain things. Perfect example. We at Bet Yahweh congregation have come to understand that Yahweh Elohim is composed of powers. That's exactly what it means. Yahweh of powers. And these powers are representative of the Aleph-Bet. They are one and the same. So when the word was spoken forth and the word was created, the word Ab, strength of the house, these two powers got together and formed Father. We didn't understand that at one point. So your understanding grows. See, at one point, we thought that Yahweh was the name of the Father. And we love Yahweh, the Father. But then we came to an understanding that Yah was the name of the Father. So now our understanding has grown. And now it's Hallelujah. It was always Hallelujah, but you were saying it, now you're saying it with a different understanding. Understanding exactly who Yah is. So, I said that to say, you might be at a point where somebody's understanding is not there, but that don't mean that you can't be unified. That don't mean that you can't be, that you have to beef, argue, and all this have to be in a disunion, because that does not show off the mighty one whenever we're in strife. In matter of fact, let's look that up. Let's find that. Okay, but look, before I go there, let's read this last part. Last one. He says, he said, and to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Verse 34. And when Yahushua saw that he had answered him discreetly, that word discreetly means wisely, he gave him the correct answer. He understood something. He says, and when Yahushua saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of Yah. And no man after that dared to ask him any question. So that's what unity is going to bring about. You want to end all these questions? Unify. Stand together. Father first. And then we can stand with one another. All right? Now, something Brother Paul wrote. Here you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, we're going to start at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Messiah. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto, or up to now, you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So I'm giving you small stuff right now because you're babies. You can't bear meat right now. I have to talk to you like you're infants. I got to give you the goo-goo gaga like you're babies. You know how when you talk to a baby, you really don't. You talk to them sort of, but you make those little crazy sounds like, ooh, yeah, oh, bah, 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 all that stuff. I got to talk to you like you're kids. I got to give you milk. I can't give you solid food because your digestive system can't handle this. You can't break down solid food as a child to mush it up. You know, if you want to give them something solid, you have to go ahead and mush it up. You know, you have to, what they call puree it. You know, have to take all the solidity out of it and make it sort of like a paste so they can digest it. You know? This is how he has to deal with the Corinthians at this time. Verse 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? When these things happen and we show forth envying, strife, and division, we're not unified we're not unified with the Most High. Yahushua is not jealous of Yah. The word said he knows that he's lower himself, lower than Yah. He said, I and my Father is one. That's what they say. We're unified. But I'm a little lower than my Father, even though I don't think I would be taking anything from him if I said that I was equal to him. He thought it not robbery to be equal to the Father. I wouldn't be taking anything from my Father if I say I'm equal to him. Nothing. My Father understands that. But I understand that I come from him. I'm a little lower than him. So it's cool. Jealous of my Father. I'm actually obedient to him because whatever he tells me to do, I do. That's all to it. There's no strife. There's no contention. There's no division between me and my Father. None of that exists between Yah and Yahushua. He is our example. It should not exist between us. But it does. Why? Because we operate as men. He says, like he said, like we just read, are you not carnal and walk as men? We're showing forth ourselves. Instead of, but again, the one thing that's supposed to unite us is what we beef about the most. So, since Yahushua said that was the greatest commandment, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. Excuse me. And it reads, matter of fact, let me read it how I was going to read it. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Ahavata et Yahweh Eloheka, Deko Lavaveka, Uveko Nafshika, Oveko, Meodeka, Behava, Hadevarim,
Ha'ela, Asher, Onaki, Mistaveka, Hayom, A, Lavaveka, Vashinakam, Lavaneka, Vidabata, Bam, Vishitaka, Vivetaka, Uvelekteka, Vadarek, Uveshakebaka, Uvekumeka, Ukeshakam, Leo, Al, Yadeka, Vehayu, Letotafo, Bien, Elneka, Ukatavamta, Uketavam, excuse me, Al, Mezutsu, Beteka, Uvish Areka. And that's a mouthful. So that's what Moshe said when we read the Shema. And it's loosely translated. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh is our mighty one. Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love Yahweh, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and they shall write them, excuse me, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. All right, so this is what's supposed to unite us, the commands that Yahweh gave us. But let's keep reading. Verse 10. Oh, something else I wanted to interject. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, the word teach them, shanan, and it means, it's a primitive root, means to point, in your Hebrew section is number 8150. And it means to point, to sharpen to a point, to pierce, you know. So, it means you're supposed to sharpen your kids with these things. You know, because this is something directly for the children. When he gets to talking to this point, you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Every moment is supposed to be a teaching. They're supposed to get sharper and sharper. Every time they see you following these commands, you know. At one time, there wasn't a thing called YouTube or PlayStation or any other distraction that these kids and a lot of times adults can get into. So they would observe their parents. Still do. You know, children still pick up on what their parents do. All right? But at one time, it was just mom, dad, brother, sister, and that was the household, you know. You might have sports and, you know, because people like to hunt and fish and this, that, and another. But this is how they learn. So the kids paid a close attention, a closer attention to their parents than they do now. Because now they're so distracted. Where the word says, every opportunity when you rise up, from the time you wake up to the time you lay back down, when you're walking by your way, when you're in the house, when you're out the house, everything is supposed to be a learning experience for your kids,
You're supposed to be constantly teaching them so they can become sharp at this. You know? And then after that, they do the same with their kids. So it's being passed down from generation to generation to generation. Think about what he said about our, and we're going to get into him a little bit later, our forefather Abraham. One of the reasons why Yahweh picked him is he said, I know Abraham is going to teach his kids. He's going to show his children my ways. And this is one of the reasons why I love him. Why this is my that's my man. You know? Because every opportunity he gets, he's going to show his kids something about me. That's what he's going to do. So, Israel, we have to teach the kids. So if we're envying, beefing, and strifing, divisioning between one another, between us, what are we teaching the kids? What are they picking up on? Because they're picking up on that too. Like I said, they might not be, they have more distractions now. So a child might be into something outside of their parents, but they still pick up on parents, pick up on the things their parents do. They're not ever not paying attention. Oops. They're not ever not paying attention. Oh, man. Yeah, so they pick it up. All right. He says, back to verse 9. He says, and thou shalt write them upon thy posts, upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Now, verse 10. And it shall be when Yahweh, your mighty one, shall have brought thee in the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten and be full. Beware, lest thou forget Yahweh, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So, start going good for you, Israel. Start going real good. Beware, lest you forget Yahweh, which brought you out of bondage. So how do we do that? How do we bring it up nowadays? See, sometimes Yahweh shows us a thing, gives us some knowledge, reveals some things onto us. And we get a big head. And we forget that the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's his word. And he showed this thing unto you. We forget. Things might be going good with your job and all that. Things might be going lovely. And then you forget the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You didn't fell into the trap. Never are we supposed to forget. Never. Israel's problem, and it continues to be Israel's problem to this day. Something happens to them, and you know, some good stuff happens to them, and they forget. They turn their back on Yahweh, you know, because they feel as though they might have a following now, you know, if you are a quote unquote teacher. You know, the Most High blessed me with these people who follow me and, you know, all this stuff and yada, yada, yada. But then you turn your back on the Most High. Because the elementary things is now stuff to beef about with others. No unification is happening. We can't be united with Yahweh if we are in dispute with His word. You know? Now, again, we are not saying that you have to agree with everything. Might be an understanding issue. See, but then sometimes people will just cause strife just because they don't understand. You know, it's sort of like that kid who goes up. I'm all right. How are you, Miss Evan? They go out and they cause issues because of they don't understand things. Like I have a like my son. He's to the point now where I don't want to call it a spoiled brat, but for lack of a better term, that's exactly what it is. You know, that's my little man. But he's to the point right now, and him being autistic, he doesn't know how to express feelings.
Thank you, sir.
He doesn't know how to express his feelings. So, you know, when things don't go right, he lashes out. You know, and it's sort of like that within the Hebrew Israelite community. When somebody brings upon something that they feel as though is revelation, and you go into the word and it contradicts it, they lash out. You know, these people lash out at you. I remember a youngster talking to him a while ago. And one of the things that they were saying is very first thing that he said to me was not shalom, hello, none of that stuff. He gets on the phone and says, "What tribe you from?" I said, "Huh?" He said, "What tribe you from?" I said, "What tribe I'm from?" "Yeah, man, what tribe you from?" I said, "Don't know." "What you mean you don't know?" I said, "I don't know." You know, not that it makes a difference. I'm an Israelite. "Yeah, you know, you black?" "Yeah, I guess you can call me black." "You from the tribe of Judah then?" I said, "How can you prove that?" You know, he went into this little dissertation, this, that, and another. "But these were the ones they was took." I said, "Okay, that's cool. But, you know, at the time of the Messiah, Judah wasn't the only tribe around. You had Benjamin that was with Judah, and you also had Levi that was with Judah. So how can you say for 100% certainty that you are a Yahudim from the tribe of Judah? You could be a Benjamite. You could be a Levite. Because they was the three that was around." And, you know, there's things within the New Testament that talks about that. You know, Paul himself was a Benjamite. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. Then I have to look it up. But he was writing to somebody, and within his letter, he talked about how somebody was from the tribe of Levi. I have to find that for y'all. I'll look it up and I'll probably find it for you next week. But point being, you want to beef. And, you know, you come off real crazy. Like I say, okay, prove by the word. And you can't do it. Now you want to lash out. Now all of a sudden, I'm a Negro PN. And, you know, because that's what they call blacks, these black Hebrew Israelites who accept the Gentiles. They call them Negro PNs. And all kinds of stuff, you know. So how can anybody be unified with that? How can unification come about? You know,
Am I obeying the commandments? Because that's what's important. Am I doing my best to do what Yah say? That's what's important, not what tribe you from. You understand what I'm saying? So people lash out. They have these little temper tantrums. You know, they're like spoiled brats. But we don't ever want to forget the Most High. And when we cause these strifes, these envies, and these divisions, that's what we're doing. We're literally turning our back on the Most High. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It reads, "Whosoever believeth that Yahushua is the Messiah is born of Yah. And everyone that loveth him that beget, and everyone that loveth him that beget, loveth him also that is begotten of him." So that little tongue twister saying, what's up now? Alright. It said, everybody that believes that Yahushua is the Messiah, is the Messiah, is born from Yah, the Father. The Father sent. You are now the son of Yah. The same way that the Messiah is the son of Yah, you're on that same level. You're on that same level. So he says, everyone that loveth him. Hold on. Sorry, I'm. All right. He says, okay. Whosoever believeth, you're on the same level as Yahushua, right? He says, is born of the Most High. So you're born of Yah. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, is loving him also that is begotten. Everybody who loves Yah loves Yahushua. If you believe that Yahushua is the son of Yah. You know, how you doing? All right. He says, excuse me. He says, by this we know we love the children of Yah. So again, this is how we're going to know that we love the children of Yah. Everybody who loves Yahushua, who confesses that he is born of Yah. Now you are a child of Yah, right? So he says, by this we know that we love the children of Yah, when we love Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden to us. Wow. They're not a burden to us. You know? So all right. He said, we keep his commandments and they're not grievous to us. Pardon me. And then move to a different spot. Why the spot? Right. He says, that's how we show our love for the Most High. That's number one. When we keep his commandments. That's why Most High said, that was the point of that. We show each other, we show the love of the Most High, of Yah, love that we have for Yah by keeping his commandments. Sorry, family. A lot of activity all of a sudden. All right. Now, with that being said, Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, hold on for a second. And it reads, and the king sent, and he gathered him unto all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Yahweh. Now, it was a time in the history of Israel where the book was lost, where they actually lost the words of the Most High. And service. It came a time when everybody was looking for the It came a time where the book was actually lost. They lost the words of the Most High. So they found it, and now the king is starting to reestablish some stuff, right? So, verse 3, right? Verse 3, it says, and the king stood by the pillar before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So, what you have again is the king going on and reestablishing a covenant which was already done. Right? He says, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of Yahweh all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove. That grove we understood being Ashtaroth. So within Yahweh's temple, they started bringing these things dedicated to these false deities. He said, and for the grove and for all the host of heaven, if out Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense to Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. So, within Yahweh's temple, all this stuff was going on. But now you have a king who makes an agreement with Yahweh. He enters into a covenant with Yahweh to stop these things. All right? So he's in unity, in unison, or echad. He's unified with the Most High. And so by him being unified with the Most High, all this stuff is going on. I'm going to kill these priests who aren't doing right by you. I'm going to get rid of all these things that aren't dedicated to you. Right? Verse 6. And he brought out of the grove from Yahweh. And he brought out of the grove from the house of Yahweh without Jerusalem unto the brook of Kidron and burnt it at the brook of Kidron and stamped it into small powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of Yahweh, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Do you hear what was going on at that time? And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of Yahweh in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the city, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of Yahweh by the chamber of Nathan Molech, the chamber which was in the suburbs, and burnt the chariots for the sun with fire. So all the things that was being dedicated, he's getting rid of. Verse 12, and the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of Yahweh, did the king beat down and break them down. Did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast down the dust of them into the brook Kidron? And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had built for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zedonites, Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he break into pieces, and he break in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. So he was killing anybody that was associated with this, worship, and breaking down all the images and the places that this worship that was taken was being played out. Verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made both that altar and the high place, he break down and burnt the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burnt the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of Yahweh, which the man of Elohim proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of Elohim, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things.
that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. And he said, let him alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria, and all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke Yahweh to anger. Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and burnt men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And returned to Jerusalem. Verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto Yahweh, your mighty one, as it is written in that book, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. So after he cleaned up the spot, first thing he told them, keep the Passover and start doing what Yahweh commanded you to do. Why? We want to be in unison with him. We want to be in united with him. We don't need any dissension between Yahweh. We don't need this going on. Why? We're supposed to be united with him. So the first thing he did, start doing the Passover again. Right? Verse 23. But in the 18th year of the king of Josiah, wherein this Passover was holding to Yahweh in Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book. Again, he's doing the things that Yahweh commanded. Why? He's in agreement or in a covenant with Yahweh. He says, that did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of Yahweh. Verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to Yahweh with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. So what did you hear? That king turned to Yahweh all his heart, all his soul, all his might, fulfilling that first law, that very first commandment. And by him doing that, he wiped the land of all the abomination and all the filth that was going on, thereby fulfilling that second commandment. You know, this is what that king did. All right. So again, that's what we do. Fulfill those two commandments, we fulfill the law. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. Right? Why is that so important? Hearing, listening. That's how we come in unison with the Most High. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. He says, and Moshe called all Israel and said unto them, Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Yahweh,
our Mighty One made a covenant with us in Horeb. First thing he does, bring back the time where he, when Yahweh stood before us, when we stood before Yahweh at Horeb. Very significant. Because at that time, the nation itself was there. And the nation itself agreed to be unified with Yahweh. So, let's read what it says. He says, Yahweh, Almighty One, made a covenant with us in Horeb. Yahweh made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. Yahweh talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yahweh and you at that time to show you the word of Yahweh, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, now, the next couple of verses, we know what he said. He got the Ten Commandments. So, we're going to jump down to verse 22. He says, these words Yahweh spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, Yahweh, our Mighty One, hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that Elohim doth talk with man, and he liveth. So, the nation was scared together. So what they did was sent the elders up to talk to Moshe and say, look, man, we know that you ain't playing about Yahweh, because he's talking to all of us now. All right? So we're going to agree to everything that's going, we're in agreement now. Right? He showed us his greatness. He showed us his glory. Right? Verse 25. He says, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of Yahweh, our Mighty One, anymore. Then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that have heard the voice of the living Mighty One speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live? Go thou, you go near, and hear all that Yahweh, our Mighty One, shall say, and speak you unto us all that Yahweh, our Mighty One, shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. That's the agreement. Everything that Moses said, tell them that Yahweh said, do, that's what you do. So they agreed to this. That's, we are in agreement. We should be in unison with this. Right? He says, verse 28, and Yahweh heard the voice of your words. And Yahweh heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And Yahweh said unto me, I have heard the voice of your word, of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. So they made a good choice. Verse 29. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. So, Yahweh knew something was up. He wants that heart to develop into one that will fear him, keep his commandments, because he wants well for us. He wants us to be unified with him. He wants good things for us. But those good things come when we get in unison with him. They can't come just on our time. You know, well, we have to be unified with him. That's how they come. I'm thinking of, says, you owe Yah, son of the shield, you show us favor and honor. No good thing will you withhold from those who walk with you. You know? So, if we want good things, that's all we have to do is walk with Yahweh. Right? So, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 1 through 3. Again, something that we're supposed to take notice of. All right, it reads, Shema Yisrael, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than yourself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakim, whom thou knowest, of whom thou hast heard. Say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand, therefore, this day, that Yahweh, your mighty one, is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as Yahweh have said unto thee. Speak not thou in thy heart, after that Yahweh, thy mighty one, has cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness Yahweh have brought me in to possess this land. But for wickedness these nations, Yahweh does drive them out before thee. So, going to war. So that's what he's talking about, possessing the land. Don't think just because Yahweh is fighting a battle for you that you are so righteous in his eyes, and this is why he's doing it. It's for the wickedness of people. Abraham was right in his eyes, but that don't mean Abraham did everything right. You know, he was righteous in the Most High's eyes, but that don't mean that he did everything correctly. You know, greater is the evil out there than it is with us. And that's why he's really destroying these lands. He said, I'm not giving you this land to possess because you did something right. I'm giving you this land to possess because they're doing everything wrong. You know? So, first of all, shalom, everybody. All right? Sorry for the whole, you know, everything y'all heard and everything. But it's been a day. is there any questions now that I'm here? All right. He says, verse 5, he says, not for thy righteousness or for the righteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of those nations, Yahweh, your mighty one, doth drive them out before thee. And that he may perform the word which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, again, it's not nothing that we did, but Yahweh made is everything they're doing wrong and a promise that he made to our forefathers that this thing happened. Because he is a man that keeps his word, not a liar. He loves Abraham so much, I'm going to do this for your seed. And because we happen to fall into the line of the seed of Abraham, good stuff happened to us. But when we became knuckleheads, we got kicked out of the land. Right? So it wasn't for anything that we did right, because he's going to tell us, y'all been stiff-necked since I got y'all out of Egypt. So it's not that you're doing anything right. It's they're doing everything wrong. He says, verse 6, understand, therefore, that Yahweh, your mighty one, giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest Yahweh, your mighty one, to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou did depart out of the land of Egypt. Until you came unto this place, you have been rebellious against Yahweh. Also in Horeb, you provoked Yahweh to wrath, so that Yahweh was angry with you and hath destroyed you. So we've never been in unison with the Most High, but yet he still kept his promise. You know? So what greater thing would we have, or what greater thing can happen to us if we actually get into unison with the Most High? If he's kept his promise in our disobedience, how much more greater would it be if we are obedient? Paul posed that question in a different way. You know, he said, if the falling away of the branch, let's find it. Hold up. Can't remember how he worded it. All right. Does anybody know the verse that I'm speaking of?
It's in Romans chapter 11. Starting at verse 11.
Told her. Romans 11:11. He says, I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So he's talking about Israel falling away from the Most High, being disobedient. And because of that, the Gentiles are now brought into the commonwealth of Israel. So because they fell away, something was added, and it was greater. Israel actually became greater because now the Gentiles are looked upon as Israel. So if our disobedience got us land, you know, and the Most High did that, how much more will our obedience get us? You know, when we actually do and be unified with Yah and actually take these things and take these steps to, one, unify with the Most High, and two, unify with one another. If we can start walking together and not being so carnal, stop envying, strifing, beefing with one another about every little thing. Everything shouldn't be an argument. But again, it's something else that that the Most High put on my mind. And it was about the war, you know, because it started off in chapter 9 talking about possessing the land. And you were going up against people who were greater than you and bigger than you and stronger than you and this, that, and another. But it says Yahweh goes before you like a consuming fire. So if we want Yahweh to go before us like a consuming fire, we have to be unified with us, unified with him. We have, there's a story in there talked about how Israel was supposed to beat up some folks, and somebody had an idol back at the camp. And because they had this, because this one family had the idol back at the camp, they lost. So they inquired of Yahweh, he said, what's going on? Why did we lose? I'm not fighting for you if you got idols back there. Well, who got an idol? Get me this family, this tribe. Okay, pick out this family, and then pick out this family from this family. And he narrowed it down to that family. And he said, okay, buddy, Yahweh told me something's up with you. Tell me what's going on. That guy confessed. They killed him. Got rid of the idol. And then started winning again, because the one that was causing the disunion is gone now. You know, it's in the book of Proverbs, it talks about cast out the one who's causing the strife, and the strife will end. That's what he talks. That's basically what it says. The one who caused contention, cast them out, and the strife goes away. So that's what happened with in that situation. Those folks who are not in unison, they had to go. Why? Because you're causing an issue between me and my father, and nothing can stop that. Nothing is supposed to stand in between that, you know. So because there's an issue between me and my father, now that can trickle down to issues between me and my brother. You know, because those two are alike. How many times have you beefed with somebody about the word and now you're really upset at them? You know, that happens, you know. But you have to put things aside. That's something that should never happen, you know. But Deuteronomy chapter 20, starting at verse 1, again about this war. It reads, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seize the horses and chariots and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For Yahweh, your mighty one, is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and say unto them, Shema Yisrael. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For Yahweh, your mighty one, is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So this is something that the priest is supposed to tell people before they go into battle. Don't be afraid. You know? So we fight a spiritual battle. We're supposed to be encouraging one another, not to be afraid to do things. Don't be afraid. Hasatan might got his little clutches on you right now. Don't be afraid. Everything's not going right for you in your life. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. We have to encourage one another, right? Because your mind has to be in a certain place. We was talking to Brother Brown. And one of the things that he was talking about when he was in war, right, talking about what happened over in Korea and how he had to eat a dog and a cat, and how the water was not clean. It was a stream or whatever, and it was dead bodies in the water, and he had to drink the water that the dead bodies came through and drink other things that humans shouldn't have to drink, you know. But your mind has to be in a certain place to want to eat a dog. Because for us, I mean, it's cool for people who, it's not cool for people, but some people eat dogs as delicacies, right? Brother Brown did not grow up eating a dog as a delicacy, you know? He, in my opinion, he lived kind of a privileged life. He lived pretty okay, you know? And for a year, from going to living okay to now have to eat a dog, that's a change in mindset. But that's your mind has to do that. The same way when you go to war. You can't be afraid. You know, one of the things that he was talking about, one guy screw up, not only can you die, but you can cause the whole platoon to die. So it's not just you. It's everybody around you, because everybody has a responsibility for everybody else, you know? So your mind has to be right. Same thing here with battle, in the battle. First thing the priest tells him, don't be afraid. Yahweh is going before you. He's going to destroy your enemies. So that's supposed to get your spirits raised up. But then, next part, verse 5. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there? Now, this is the officers. This ain't the priests no more. These are your captains and the people who are leading you into this battle. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. So you at war. You worrying about your house. Your mind is not on the war. You die, and now you don't even get to enjoy your house. Another man has to dedicate it, and you're dead, and probably got somebody else dead. So, one scenario. Then the next scenario. He said, let him go home. You can't fight thinking about your house. You know? You can't fight thinking about your house. Verse 6. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eat of it. Verse 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return. You're definitely going to die if you're mind on that. You know, he says, and what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people. And they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his. So if your mind is not on that battle, then not only are you endangering you, you're endangering your brother too. You know? We're supposed to be, we say, brother's keeper. One brother go down, another brother's supposed to be there, shield up, sword ready. One brother go down, you know, and it's supposed to be vice versa. You know, the brother gave the illustration that back-to-back fighting, you know. Right here, I got your back, you got mine. Nobody gets behind us, you know. So that's how it's supposed to be within this war. So anybody who has their mind off of the battle, go home, you know. You're not ready for war. Because one, the first thing, you don't understand that Yahweh is the one destroying your enemies in the first place. You know? The battle was already being waged before we even swing anything. So we have to be in unison. But our fear can't go. My fear can't transfer to this brother. Because it goes to this brother, he can transfer it to another brother. You know? And now the whole camp's afraid to fight. You know? And that's one thing that he wanted. He came out, he started priests. Next thing, got his army together. Because we're going to war. Amen. We have to fight. But we can only fight if we are one in unison with the Most High and in unison with one another. We're not supposed to be fighting each other, you know. Look at what happened to Israel when they were fighting one another, because Israel had a civil war when all the tribes came down and they were fighting the Benjamin. And it talked about Benjamin was knocking them down with rocks, swinging. Houston throw rocks with the right hand and the left hand. So they was just letting them fly. But you had Israelites killing Israelites. Was the Most High happy about that? You know, no unison there. But again, that's what we have to do. We have to get our mindset right. You know, I'm not going to go here, but the last verse up in chapter 9, verse 9, says, "And it shall be when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people." So, in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 39, Yahushua talks about the inside of the cup and the outside of the cup. That's what we have inside clean. That way everybody will see the outside, see what's inside, outside. If the inside be clean, then the outside shows what's on the inside. You know, if we are in unison with the Most High, in unison with the Most, with each other, everybody's going to see. Hence the little story between with me and Ariel at the beginning. You know, me and my brother. That's who she saw. She saw Yahushua. You know, because there's no way in the world I look like Ariel. You know, but she said, "Oh, I see him." Good. But any questions or comments? That's the end of the tour portion for the day. Any questions or comments about anything? Sorry, I just popped up. Crazy day. So, Brother Yayo, would you mind? Please. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you for this day. Again, thank you for allowing us to come before you, Father. Thank you for opening up our hearts and our minds, Father. Please forgive us for all our sins. Put your spirit upon our brother today and bring forth your word. Open up his mind, his ears, his eyes, Father. Let him send your word unto us. Let it grow within us. Father, thank you for setting apart this time for us and allowing us to bask in your presence. Thank you for all the things that you do for us on a day-to-day basis, Father. Thank you for just giving us a little bit more time, another chance, Father. In Yahushua's name, we thank you, giving you praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Ben einecha, uchtatam el mizu.